You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Now, that's kind of a harsh statement, and perhaps it's not quite easy to understand. I did find another translation, I think, that might help us a little bit here. It reads, "You are salt for the earth. But if it loses its taste, again, it'll be thrown out." As we all know, salt is probably one of the most naturally occurring compounds you can find in the world. You can get salt out of the ground, you can get salt out of the sea, you can get salt out of actually fluids in trees and blood. Our blood has salt in it. So it's just everywhere. It's been in use for about 6,000 years. We've used it for everything from agriculture to zoology. I've Googled it and it said it has about 14,000 uses. Now that's pretty useful. With the spread of civilization, salt became one of the most desired things to have. It was valued just as high as gold in some places. The ancient Hebrews, the Greeks, the Romans, and the Byzantines all were after it and used it. And in the Middle East, salt was often used to seal an agreement. So in looking at today's words, the scripture passages, there were two words that really caught my attention. The first one was, of course, salt. And the Greek for salt is halas, which figuratively can mean providence, prudence, sound judgment. It also means preservation, flavor, influence, perfection, and, of course, value. The other phrase that caught my attention was, and made me ponder, was how can salt ever lose its taste? Now, think about that. It's hard to figure that out. If you put it in water, it still tastes salty. It tastes salt, like salt. But the Greek for the word kind of leads us to where we're going. It is morana, that's in the Greek, which translates as to become insipid or to make dull or to act as a simpleton. In other words, salt, as Christ is talking about it, can make somebody dull in thought. Jesus' words today were spoken at the end of the Sermon on the Mount where he gave us the Beatitudes. The purpose of the Beatitudes is, of course, to provide us a moral and spiritual framework in which we can live a life that reflects the value of the kingdom of heaven that he has set before us. It also serves as a guide for believers to live in a way that honors God and brings joy to the earth. The Beatitudes encourage humility, compassion, righteousness, peace, and a roadmap about how we should go about pleasing God and making a positive influence on those around us. Jesus gave these words to ordinary people. Fishermen, farmers, tradesmen, merchants. There were no princes, queens, kings around when he spoke these words. He was and is speaking to people like you and me. Jesus does not say, try to be the salt of the earth. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, don't get insulted by that, be called salt of the earth. I know some places that's a connotation of somebody that's a rube or, you know, not cool, I guess is what the kids would say now. But that's not what he meant at all. Let's look at what salt meant in Jesus' day and ask the question, are we really the salt of the earth? First of all, in Jesus' day, covenantal significance. Salt holds a significance in the Bible. In Leviticus, we read, you are to season each of your grain offerings with salt. You must not omit it from your grain offering, the salt of your covenant for your God. You are to add salt to each of your offerings. The salt of the covenant symbolizes its preservation, its lastingness, its being preserved. Salt represents the perpetual and binding nature of a covenant between God and his people. Today, of course, we're not bound by the Levitical laws because Christ has come. But the covenant of our baptism, in which we were granted relief from the old Adam, is with us. We still hold that. The baptism which you were baptized with drowned the old Adam, and from that is supposed to spring a new man every day. And you made promises when you were baptized, or they were made for you. Do you let that new man spring forth every day as you were promised when you were baptized as a child? Are you that child of God that the world sees living in a God-pleasing way? That is the covenant of the baptism that we have today. Salt is also a symbol of wisdom and speech. In the New Testament, salt is associated with wisdom and gracious speech. Colossians 4:6 instructs, "Let your speech be always gracious and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Now here, salt symbolizes wisdom and the discernment of how you talk to your neighbor and how you convey to him that you're a believer and you should speak in a way that characterizes your belief. Are you maybe afraid to speak about Jesus outside the walls of this church? What about your family at gatherings? Do you guys say grace? Do you take time to talk to your children in the evening about Jesus and about why you believe in Jesus? These are all things that make us the salt of the earth. Judgment and destruction. Conversely, salt can be symbolize judgment and destruction. Raise your hand if you remember Lot's wife who disobeyed and turned around and was turned into a pillar of salt. One's not bad. Also, think about Sodom and Gomorrah. It was destroyed and basically sowed with salt, so nothing ever grew there again. The same way with Carthage. When the Romans destroyed the Hannibal, they plowed the ground and sowed it with salt, so nothing would ever grow again. So salt can be a destructive thing. So what do you think? Do thoughts of God's wrath and his law ever come to mind when you think about Jesus Christ? Because he died on the cross for us, and all is well. And all that you have to do is say, "I believe." Offerings and sacrifices. Salt is an essential component of offerings and sacrifices in the Old Testament. Ezekiel reads, "It is noted you are to present them before the Lord, and the priests are to sprinkle salt on them and offer them as a burnt offering to the Lord." The inclusion of salt sacrifices and underscores the role of sanctification and dedication. God symbolizing the purity and the acceptability of the offering. Do these words bring to mind the old canticle that is often sung in our services? "What shall I render to the Lord?" Are you giving him your best? Healing and restoration. Salt is also used for medicinal purposes in healing and restoration. In 2 Kings, the prophet Elijah uses salt to throw into the water, and it makes it pure, and they can drink it again. And he says, "And then he went to the spring of the water and threw the salt into it and said, 'This is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. No longer will it cause death or unfruitfulness.'" Now this act demonstrates the transformative power of God. Using salt as a medium to bring about life and fertility in a barren region. Have you been healed in the baptism waters of your baptism? Are you now able to give comfort and aid to all that seek it? Do you ever repeat Isaiah's words? "Here am I, send me, send me." Preservation and purification. In ancient times, of course, salt was primarily used as a preservative, and we still use it today that way, and it prevents decay and corruption. This practical use is mirrored in the spiritual symbolism of what today's reading suggests that people are to do. We are to act as agents of preservation. We are to maintain the church, maintain the doctrine, maintain the word in purity and integrity. And in Psalm 119, which we read a little earlier, how can a young man's person stay on the path of purity? By living according to the word. So to summarize, what Jesus is teaching us is how very important it is to carry the Christian name, to be called and known as a worshiper of Christ, and him crucified for you. Luther really sums this up pretty well, and I will read you here what I have. When we truly acknowledge the great and precious gifts that have been given to us, as Paul teaches us in Romans 5:5, our hearts are filled by the Holy Spirit with love. This love empowers us to become free, joyful, capable workers, conquerors over all tribulation. It enables us to serve our neighbors, and while also standing as lords over every challenge. For those who fail to recognize what Christ has bestowed, their lives remain empty. They continue with their own efforts and never experiencing or understanding the fullness of the blessings. Just as our neighbor may be in need of what we have in abundance, faith, love, so too were we once in need before God, lacking his mercy. In response to the mercy given to us by our Heavenly Father, through Christ, whom we are called to offer help freely to our neighbors through our actions and our service. Each person should strive to be as Christ to another, so that together we may embody Christ for one another, and Christ may be present in all. We truly become Christians then. Please listen again to Jesus' words, calling you to be salt for the earth. Never forget what he has done for you. And all that he asks in return is that you believe and share your gifts that he has given you. He's not asking you to go on TV or start a blog or become some evangelist. He's just asking you to remember that you are his child in your daily work. So when you go out to practice your vocation, whether it be doctor, lawyer, teacher, Indian chief, that they will know, as the hymn says, they will know that we are Christians by our love. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until he returns. Amen.